Today's program's a little unique. It was our desire to include everyone in attendance in the program today. So we've included three traditional hymns, kind of as a sing-along for everyone to sing along with us. Words can be found in the hymn books located on the back of the pew in front of you. When they are announced, please lift your voice in worship and praise by singing the first stanza only. Thank you for joining in as we celebrate the promise of Christmas. Wait, what is that I hear? Do you hear it? Listen. What an impressive Christmas marching band. What brought you to our church this morning?
Well, we heard that you're having a celebration, and we want to celebrate too.
Yes, we are having a celebration. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And I was just introducing our program for today. I'm so glad you stopped by to share your delightful excitement with us. Thank you, boys and girls. And remember to keep practicing.
Get your band ready?
Hey.
Ready?
Remembering promises.
Remembering promises? Not exactly what I was thinking about, but it's very true. From the beginning of creation, God has always kept his promises. Just think about God's creation and Adam and Eve.
Why, yes. In Genesis, we read, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And when God had created Adam and Eve, he said, "So created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them." He wanted them to be close to him forever.
Right. God made them to be close to him. But then Adam and Eve made a really bad choice. Rather than thankfully following God's instructions and guidance, they willfully chose to act with pride and selfishness. They made the choice to ignore God and to sin.
It broke the relationship between God and man and brought all of creation under the bondage of sin and into corruption. Oh, isn't that just terrible?
Yes, terrible. But we have a great God, and our great God had a plan and made a promise to crush evil and reconcile man to himself, to bring us back together again.
That plan had remained a mystery known only to God. In Daniel 4, it mentions certain angelic beings called the Watchers. These mighty angels, these holy ones, began to look into these things here on earth. These angels watched the spiritual life and death of struggle of the fallen mankind on earth, century after century.
Yes, they waited and waited, and then Christmas night. God's plan, the mystery, began to be revealed. Oh, joy. It's great news, and we need to sing about it. The promise of Christmas.
The night went to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you hear what I hear? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you hear what I hear? A child, shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. A child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and
done and does great things. He gives us everything to meet our needs. In fact, in Philippians 4, verse 19, it tells us, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
But God's people sometimes thought they knew best. God had commanded Israel to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes, and he would bless them. But over and over, they stopped trusting God and took matters into their own hands.
Like in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, when the Israelites rejected God as king and said, give us a king to judge us. Their motives for desiring a king were all wrong. Instead of relying on God to lead them, a man named Saul became their king.
Yes, Saul. He was a handsome young man who stood head and shoulders above the rest. But Saul turned out to be a bad choice. Saul acted foolishly and did not keep the commandment of the Lord God.
The Lord was looking for a man after his own heart. So God appointed David as king. David was a great king who loved God.
Moses had instructed them in how a future king should be chosen and how he should rule. But even David could not lead and judge perfectly.
And there was also King Solomon, David's son. God gave him a wise and an understanding heart, wiser than any king before him or after him.
But even wise King Solomon failed, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded.
Over and over, earthly kings continued to fail to lead and judge righteously. The king we needed couldn't come from earth. He had to come from heaven. God provided the one true king with the promise of Christmas. And heaven sang.
Please join me in singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hymn 88. And if you would stand and let's sing one verse.
Hark the Herald. watching over their sheep. Ordinary people working their job and most likely asleep at this late hour. It was dark, quiet, and far from anyone.
To the shepherds, it must have seemed like an ordinary night with an ordinary sky. The stars were like diamonds sparkling against the black velvet sky.
Suddenly, on this night, their world changed. Our world changed. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
That black sky and darkness exploded with brightness, and the sky was filled with angels. Hebrews 12:22 speaks of an innumerable company of angels. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Think about it. This fantastic, wonderful announcement went to the shepherds, common of folk in the field, and the host from heaven shared the good news with them.
All of heaven was rejoicing because the promised king, the promised savior had arrived, the promise of Christmas. Oh, glory!
The shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.
When they arrived, they found Mary and Joseph and the newborn baby lying in a manger.
Oh, I remember Mary's story from Luke chapter 1. the angel Gabriel visited Mary, and she was so afraid. But Gabriel assured her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and his kingdom there shall be no end."
And Mary couldn't understand, since she was a virgin, espoused to Joseph. But Gabriel told her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God."
And I remember that Joseph, Mary's fiancé, found her with child of the Holy Spirit. Being an honorable and honest man, deeply caring for Mary, he was willing to privately put her away. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for thou shalt, which is conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit."
Mary, a simple handmaiden from Nazareth, Joseph, a carpenter by trade, ordinary people to society who had extraordinary hearts that were tender, faithful, and committed to the Lord God.
After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child.
Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned to their field, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen.
I remember Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Emmanuel, God with us, the promise of Christmas.
Please join me in singing O Come, Emmanuel, hymn 76. And if you would please stand, sing one verse.
A statement we can depend on with total absolute confidence. When God's people need protection, God promises protection. Do not be afraid of sudden fear.
When we need his presence, God promises his presence. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee."
When we need help, God promises help. "I will strengthen thee."
When we need guidance, God promises guidance. "The Lord is my shepherd."
All throughout history, God has been preparing for this moment, ever since he created the world and the world became trapped in darkness and needed saving.
When longing for a king, God promised the King of Kings.
And when we were trapped by our sin, God promised to rescue us. We needed saving. God promised a Savior.
When I think upon Christmas, I think of how God's promises have always been true, and the truth is never been clearer than the night our Savior was born.
express how our Father in heaven has sent us his best to be born in a manger, the King in the hay, and creation will worship his name. For the joy of the world, he was born, bringing peace to us all through the gift of the Son. Now the darkest of ages are done. For the Savior of heaven has come. When I think upon Jesus, the King of all days, I can't help but respond with an offering of praise. Like the wise men and shepherds, I'll follow your light, and the angels, I lift your name high. For the joy of the world, he was born, bringing peace to us all through the gift of the Son. Now the darkest of ages are done. For the Savior of heaven has come.
Today, and we've still got a little tiny bit left, but we focused today on the idea of God's promises. And what we did was kind of take a very brief walk through history, going back to creation. And even in creation, God had already issued promises. And then we looked at just a couple of the kings of the Old Testament promises made there, and then ended up in the New Testament with the story of Christmas and the promise of Christmas. So, as I was thinking about that, a couple of things stood out from what's been shared so far that I want to reiterate, and then we're going to kind of have a little prayer time and then get to the conclusion of our presentation. One of the narrators, I think it was Susie, in her part, read this definition of a promise. It is a statement we can depend on with total, absolute confidence. That's a good definition of a promise. If you're like me, you probably have been around people, or you may be around people right now, who do not keep their promise. A statement made that should give you a lot of confidence in what that statement is. and people don't always keep their promises. What we want you to see today through the narration and the reminder of Christmas is that God always keeps His promises. If you've come in here today, maybe you've never been in a church building before except for a funeral or wedding. You're not accustomed to church, different things we do in songs. You need to know something today, that no matter where you are in life, no matter how good life is right now, no matter how bad life is right now, hard life is right now, easy life is right now, there are promises in Scripture that God will always keep. So my little brain started thinking about promises in Scripture, and I'm going to give you two this morning, and then I'm going to sit down. This is strange at Christmas time. In the very beginning of Scripture, the book of Genesis, we've got creation. And we know in creation we've got the creation of man and then the creation of woman. Now, in chapter 2 of the first book of the Bible, we find a promise. And it's not one you're going to like, but listen to it. It is the promise of death. Oh, it's Christmas, Pastor. What in the world are you doing this morning? Let me read you the verses. In chapter 2, God gave instructions to the man and woman, put them in the Garden of Eden. They're in a perfect place, perfect world, walking with God. There's no sin. Everything is good. And here's what God says, verse 15. He takes the man and puts him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. And here's a promise. For in the day that you eat from it, and here's the promise, you shall surely die.
Amen.
You ever think about that? One of the first promises in Scripture is a promise that if you disobey me, you're going to die. Not a very good Christmas message this morning, is it? But now, what does it mean you're going to die? Well, we read later in chapter 3, they partook of the forbidden tree. And when they did that, they were separated from God spiritually. That was a spiritual death that ultimately led to a physical death. And that's why we have funerals today. See, people don't realize the reason our world is messed up today is because of what happened in Genesis chapter 3 with the disobedience of Adam and Eve before a holy God. And God has never hidden from us that promise that in the day you sin, Adam, you're going to die. And we still deal with it today. But the good news, and this is what Christmas is about, you've got a promise of death, but you've also got a promise of life.
Amen.
So when you turn to chapter 3, a very strange little story here. Mankind has disobeyed God, and we know we've got that little slithering serpent. And I don't like snakes, by the way, in case you're wondering. We've got that little slithering serpent there, and that little serpent personifying the devil himself, you know, starts to whisper to Eve, and she goes and tells her husband, and they make choice to disobey God. But then God, what he does, he issues a curse upon mankind, a curse upon the ground, and a curse upon that serpent. And here's what he says to that. He says this to the serpent. He says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. Okay, between you little devil serpent, and this woman Eve. Between you and the woman, and between, now watch this, your seed and her seed. And here's the promise. He shall bruise you on the head, talking about the seed of the woman, the Messiah who would come, will bruise the devil on the head, although, devil, you bruise him on the heel. Now, you didn't come today looking for a theology lesson, but in case you were interested, Genesis 3:15 is known as, get ready, $10 word, Proto-Evangelion. So that's wonderful. What's it mean? It means the first gospel. It means the first good news. The very first time in Scripture you find good news of life is in Genesis chapter 3. And here's what it says. Eve, through procreation, will give birth to one who will destroy the head of Satan. Now we get to Christmas time. The seed of the woman coming to us through Joseph and Mary, God's work with the miraculous conception, gives birth to a little baby at Christmas time. We call him the Son of God, Jesus. And that Jesus would then grow up, end up on a cross, be raised from the dead. And when he did that, he crushed the head of the devil. Isn't this weird? In Genesis, already we've got a promise of death, and we've got a promise of life. It's all right here at the very start. So then there's one more verse that I turn to for this promise of life. It's one of my favorites because I like things simple, and it's so simple. And here's what it says in Romans chapter 10, that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise, right? We're talking about the promise of Christmas. There's a promise of death. When you disobey God, Adam, you're going to die. Okay, that's death. But there's a promise of life, and I'm going to send one who will crush the head of Satan there at the cross and through the resurrection. And because of that, if you trust in him, you'll have the promise of life. And that's what Scripture says. Whoever believes in him, calls upon the name of the Lord, will be saved. Not might be, or hopes to be, will flat out be saved. That's the promise of Christmas. Death. Within the first three pages of your Bible, death. But in those same three pages, a promise of life. And it happens because of Christmas. So I want you to bow with me as we pray, and then we're going to conclude our program today. As we bow together this morning, I want you to think about the promise of Christmas today. I don't know where you are in life. There's no way I can know how your morning has been. I don't know how your family is going right now. I don't know how your job is going right now. I don't know how you're doing financially right now. I don't know what the doctor said to you this week that's kind of rocked your world. I don't know any of these things. But I do know this. God keeps his promises. And he always implores us to trust him. Just believe, trust him. So we want to give you the opportunity today as we close our program time, as we're bowed together here, maybe just a silent prayer time for you as we go into the Christmas event itself, to maybe lift up a prayer and say, Lord, you know what's going on in my life, and I do want to claim your promises of your power and your promises of your peace and your presence with me today, and ask your intervention in whatever the situation is. But it may also be that as you've come today at the invitation of someone, or maybe you come every Sunday, today you've kind of come face to face with the promise of death. It's coming, and there, God does not hide that from us. It is coming. But also the promise of life, and that Jesus came and died on the cross and destroyed the head of Satan so we could be forgiven of sin, be set free, and have eternal life. So I'm going to ask you as we get ready to close and we're bowed together, I want you to have that opportunity today to lift up a silent prayer, asking God to intervene in your life for something, or it may be, if you're not a believer, that this would be your opportunity to pray something like this and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I know that you died on the cross for me to destroy the head of Satan. And right now, as best I know how, I'm repenting of my sin, confessing my sinfulness to you, and asking that you'd forgive me. And I'm embracing you as my Savior, my Lord, and committing my life to you. And I do want to thank you for saving my soul today. Father, we are thankful for the promise of Christmas and what we've heard and what we have sang. And now as we've looked a little bit here at Genesis and the promises we find in the beginning regarding death, and yet the promise of life and eternal life. And so whatever folks have lifted up to you today, you hear their prayers. You always do. And so all I can ask is that you would intervene in a supernatural way to prove to each one that you are real and that you care and that you are powerful. If there's any today, maybe as we had that little moment to pray that said, Lord Jesus, I, as a sinner, need you as my Savior. Any today who made a decision to trust in you and have their sins forgiven in that way, then I would ask that even before they leave this building, they would come to me or someone they know and say, I want you to know today at that little Christmas program at Mount Canby Baptist Church, I did pray and I took Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life and committed myself to him. So, Lord, you know our prayers today, you know what we've shared with you, and we pray for your intervention and glory to be returned to you as a result of what you do through those prayers. So we love you. Bless the rest of our time as we close things out today and we lift our prayers before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Christmas is all about the promise of Jesus' birth, but it's so much more than one night.
When you choose to believe the promise of Christmas, you are changed forever.
That's the great thing about a promise of God. It's unbreakable, and once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Jesus is the Savior promised to you. Now that you know, what are you going to do about it? What's your choice?
Celebrate like the angels. Worship the King who always keeps his promises.
Embrace the joy and hope of the promise of Christmas. God will do great things to you and through you at Christmas and all year long.
I'd like for everybody to join me in our final song. It's Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Hymn 87. Hymn 87.